Do ghosts ever move house? Am I cursed or do I just make bad decisions? Answers to these questions and more on this episode of This Paranormal Life! Hello and welcome back to This Paranormal Life. This is the weekly comedy podcast wherein every Tuesday, me, Kit Greer Mulvenna, and Rory Powers, who's sitting across from me, dive into a different paranormal case and try to decide whether it's truly paranormal or not. How are you doing today, Rory?
I'm doing fantastic. And as you know, we're recording a bonus episode. So we can say,
no, we're not.
The regular listeners, we can say,
did you not
anything.
Hear me? I said we're not recording a bonus episode.
Today for breakfast, I tried to suck my own dick. This is behind a paywall, which
you
means we can
normally never say anything like that in a bonus episode. Full disclosure for anyone who's thinking of picking up the bonus episodes, that's not what they sound like. Rory doesn't talk about sucking his own dick.
You're saying this. This is a public episode?
Yeah, a bit of a delayed reaction there, but I said that as soon as you started your rant. No, this is a main episode of the podcast going out on Tuesday.
Oh, right.
Want to start over?
Yeah. If we could, yeah. I got to change gears.
All right. Yeah.
Earlier.
We'll probably go from before you said, as we all know, this is a bonus.
You could probably
episode.
Cut it there.
Yeah.
The stuff is
crass and unusual.
It was a goof, obviously. It was like a joke bit. I've never actually tried.
We should move on. So, why would that be such an easy statement to make in front of the bonus audience? But suddenly you're so bashful in front of our regular audience.
I feel like the spotlight's on me. I'm in front of 100,000 people now. And I don't appreciate this. Let's get back into it. Let's go. Fresh public episode.
That's right. This is a main episode of This Paranormal Life. Obviously, to everyone who's listening, of course, this is a main episode of This Paranormal Life. They don't even know what bonus episodes make. Jesus Christ. All right. Today's investigation starts in one of the coolest places I can imagine. 1960s California.
Ooh, very cool.
John, the principal of a high school, is blowing off some steam out in the mountains of the Monterey Peninsula, hunting with his buddies.
Steam's not the only thing I try and blow.
All right. We said we were going to cut.
Cut that. I forgot that we
I'm
were
not even
going
to, because story. We'll have cut it at this stage. I'm not even going to reference what you said earlier that you were trying to call back to.
Sorry, continue with the story. I shouldn't have interrupted.
I feel like people can guess.
Start the surf music again. Get the vibes back. Woohoo! That was a good one.
They're blasting deer, wild boar, pronghorn, antelope, and whatever else they can find. As the day wears on and the party advances, they begin to spread out further. John finds himself alone on a dusky path, scouring the horizon for any hint of movement. He looks up to the ridge above him, wondering if all the blasting has sent the animals fleeing to higher ground. That's when he spots it. There's a tall, dark figure standing on the hilltop. It's not moving at all. It's standing stock still, facing John.
Ooh.
He's freaked out, but he's a friendly guy. He tries to start up conversation with whoever's up there. Rory, weren't we just talking about this? You were just in California, and one of the strangest things about there compared to the UK is how everyone talks to everyone.
Yeah, it was really nice and refreshing to actually have conversations with strangers.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't really happen in the UK as much. No one really wants to talk to each other. Out in California, everyone was so friendly and just up for chat and conversation. It was really nice.
Like I say, John calls out to this figure. Hello? Hello? Who's there? What brings you out to these parts? But there's no answer. He can't even tell what he's looking at. Could it be a big animal or a weirdly shaped rock? Creeping closer, he can see this foreboding creature is no animal. It's dressed and is wearing a tall hat with a cape trailing behind it.
What?
Guys? Hey, guys! He figures it might be time to call for backup, if he's trapped out here with some kind of weirdo. But nobody can hear him. He calls out to his friends again, this time at the top of his lungs. Guys, get over here! He's not taking any chances. Staring straight at the figure, he slowly raises his weapon. He's staring at it straight down the barrel as his finger inches towards the trigger. It's still just standing there looking back at him.
John, what's the matter?
He whips his head round and he sees his friends jogging up to him. They see the terror on his face and know in an instant that something isn't right.
Whoa, What do you see?
John motioned upward with his gun, still pointed, by the way, and looked back towards the shadowy figure. But there was nothing there.
Whoa.
He's standing mere meters away, but didn't hear a sound. It had just disappeared, as if it was never there to begin with. Would you have handled that situation the same way, Rory?
I don't know. Did you say this person was wearing a top hat and had a cape?
Yes.
I think I might have fired the gun.
I would have shot quicker.
If I came across some sort of forest wizard as well, yeah, I would have been very suspicious.
I really like how the fact that John wanted to talk to this shadowy figure started us on a conversation about how Californians are just, you know, so much more open and friendly than other people. Maybe it's apt that he seemed really friendly to begin with, but he was two lines away from shooting that guy.
This is bizarre. I'm going to go ahead and say on record, this man is a pervert. I don't know what kind of person goes into the woods by themselves with a top hat and a cape.
This is you as the local police chief at the press junket. We have very little information at this time. We would ask everyone to hold off on questions. What I would like to say is this guy is definitely a pervert. He's definitely a threat to the community, and we need to rise up in a vigilante justice way to take him down.
Do you have any information on the child that went missing from the park the other day? Kid was 8 years old, was wearing a Barney t-shirt, probably a pervert, I'll be honest with you. It's a town of freaks. I'm the only law around here. This is strange. This is strange. This would be scary. I might not fire the gun.
Yeah, I get the concept of a warning shot, maybe. But, yeah. Like, I don't know if enough had happened here to warrant the threat of violence.
Right, sure. Because it's one thing to be out in the woods hunting the predators of the forest, the tigers, sure, the bears. You should not be out there fighting the sexual predators of the forest. That is, you can't have a hunting license for that.
I'm pretty sure someone out there is campaigning for that to become legal, but currently is not. What I'm describing to you is a dark watcher. I have to hold my hands up and say that I've never heard of them before, but they are by no means anything new. Accounts have been recorded as far back as the pre-Columbian era by the Chumash Nation. They whispered about these dark watchers in their oral legends and stories. When the Spanish colonists arrived in South America in the 1700s, they saw them too. They began calling them Los Vigilantes Oscuros.
Very cool name.
Which literally translated means the Dark Watchers. Every fresh arrival felt the same sensation of being watched from the hills. A dark watcher stands at roughly 10 feet tall. They may even appear larger because of their extravagant hats and billowing capes.
Oh my goodness.
If you find yourself in their presence, you're unlikely to see them move, but they may turn to look at you. Rory, would you like to see an artist's interpretation of a dark watcher?
I would, yeah.
Here's a couple different ones.
Or as I will be further calling them, Los Pervert Hermanos.
No.
Which loosely translates to the Sex Brothers, I believe.
It definitely doesn't.
Wow, these guys are, you know what? These guys are a lot scarier than I was giving them credit for. I was thinking of some, you know, Harry Potter looking motherfucker stumbling down the woods with one of those capes that have little lightning bolt emojis on it and a wand and a top hat. This is not the case at all, guys. These are it's cloaks they're wearing, big black thick cloaks and these strange hats. In one picture, they have glowing white eyes.
Yeah, somewhere between a Victorian gentleman, a Dementor, and yeah, a Ringwraith.
Not someone you want to come in contact with in any landscape. Certainly not the forest.
I think I just would have instinctually started squeezing the trigger of my shotgun too.
There are very few people you would ever want to encounter just in the middle of the forest. It's weird.
Maybe one of those guys who sells like concession snacks at like a baseball game or a cinema.
Yeah, that's maybe the only guy you'd want to see.
I'd want to meet that person.
They're terrifying. They're genuinely terrifying looking. I would probably blast them.
There's actually something about the silhouette that reminds me a lot about plague doctors.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, the guys who wear the big bird masks. I mean, they don't have a bird mask, but everything else about them, the hat and the cloak, is quite similar. It's of that era for sure. Interestingly, I definitely could see it fitting in kind of 1700s America. It's said that if you approach them, they'll move away sharpish and melt into the shadows. Stories about direct contact are few and far between, but I have read that if you want to meet a Dark Watcher, you should bring a gift. But I don't know what they like. What would be a good gift for a 10-foot shadow being with a hat and cape?
A new hat, maybe?
Yeah, maybe a cane or a walking stick.
Yeah.
Just complete the look. But they say you don't go looking for a Dark Watcher. If anything, they'll be the ones to come and find you. The creepiest part is that experts, I don't know who the experts are, but they say that 99 out of 100 times, the human being observed has no idea anyone else is around. So
what?
So the one person that reports seeing a Dark Watcher in the forest, there were 99 other people.
Well, how do they know that? Because they didn't report it. How would you ever know that?
Rory, don't question the experts on this show. What's more, they don't have any interest in causing mayhem or even a little mischief. They don't damage property or attack people. It's no wonder they aren't famous cryptids like Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster. They're too busy keeping a low profile.
I mean, I would say that Bigfoot keeps a pretty low profile. I think Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster are pretty infamous for keeping low profiles. That's like their whole shebang.
Yeah.
They don't like turn up at Comic-Con signing headshots.
It's a pretty small amount of difference. I think the difference is that there's zero photos of Dark Watchers and there's one photo of Bigfoot.
Right, that's 100%
different. He was caught slipping one time.
I guess a better comparison would be someone like Spring-Heeled Jack, who just popped up and threw acid in people's faces.
Yeah.
He wasn't trying to really hide in the shadows.
He was a Los Pervert Hermanos.
He was a Pervert Hermanos.
We've established that. There are tons of stories of run-ins with Dark Watchers from recent years. In 2015, a long-distance runner named Joey spotted one in Sylmar, California.
The time of day was 2 p.m. I was running, and up in an area where no human could climb without gear, I saw a black figure in plain daylight. I'd never seen anything like it up in the mountains. It was darker than dark. Could not explain it. A year has passed, and today again, January 24th, I saw it again, and in the exact same spot.
So they aren't only around in the nighttime. That account weirded me out quite a lot, too. Why on earth would this thing appear exactly 1 year later?
I mean, we hear that sometimes with ghosts, you know, appearing around the place they passed away or deceased a year on from the events.
True.
Isn't that a big horror trope? Like, Oh, welcome into the old crickety house. I hope you'll have a good night. By the way, today is 100 years since my master was slain.
Slain by who? Slain by who?
Yeah, it's a whole cliche thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. To me, it kind of felt like some kind of weird time loop or ritual, certainly. I didn't really make the connection that if this was some kind of ghost-like entity, that too could make sense. That maybe, yeah, they're harking back to some kind of past event or past life.
Yeah.
That on this very moment in history throughout the years, something happened.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to know what you think of this next account, though. This is from 2018.
These are all so recent.
Too worryingly recent. Just 3 years ago in Ojai, California. I was hiking up a remote trail up to 33 in Ojai. I was about an hour in the mountain, no people, no cars in sight. As I was hiking, I had this eerie feeling I was being watched. I looked up at the top of the mountain. It was a black figure. I waved, jokingly, not really thinking the object was a person. It waved back. Thinking I was maybe tripping or that it was a tree waving in the wind, I took a puff of my cigarette, only to see the figure blow out a plume of smoke as well.
What?
I started seeing it flowing, and I say flowing, almost floating vertically. I ran like hell back to my car, spraining my knee in the process.
This dude has never seen a shadow before. I try to run and this f***er's on my heels. I puff my cigarette, he puffs right back at me. I'm throwing fists into the dirt and this son of a bitch is throwing them back. His knuckles are like boulders.
You know, hold that thought.
Okay.
Really do hold that thought because...
I don't want to hold that thought.
Just hold it because it's actually a pretty interesting idea you just had.
Okay.
What the f*** is going on, Rory? These things can now mimic humans. Where did the smoke come from, for one?
Yeah, that's bizarre. I like that these guys don't really want to... It doesn't seem like they really want to interfere or hurt anyone. As you said, they're just watchers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I'm all right with that. Unless they're watching me shower or try and my own...
Okay.
I'm fine with them just watching me, like, on a hike or something.
You couldn't just let it go.
I'm just hypothetical situations. I'm not saying
30 minutes to just drop that bomb again.
I'm just saying, like, anything, whether I'm like at the supermarket, whether like, I'm showering.
Way, right, but that would insinuate that's something.
No, I'm just hypothetical.
And it's like so distracting
situations.
And derails the podcast. Like, it's just, it just takes over the whole thing.
This is weird, but not, I don't know. I guess it would freak me out. I feel like we've covered episodes in the podcast before where we've had kind of just dark figures that watch from a distance and disappear when you approach them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, this does feel a little bit like one of those kind of, you'd have to be there to understand how unsettling it is.
Yeah.
Vibes. I feel if I was in that position. Yeah, yeah. It might be just one of those stories. It's just, it doesn't sound as cool when you tell someone it. Now, anytime we do talk about cryptids or mysterious beings like this, it's fascinating when similar stories turn up in other countries and cultures. Turns out, these Dark Watchers may be no exception. There are Mimis from Australia. They're part of Aboriginal lore, said to be fairy-like beings. They have extremely thin, elongated bodies. So thin, in fact, they're said to be in danger of snapping in half during a high wind.
Whoa!
Their solution is to hide among rocks and crevices. Mimis are said to be responsible for the earliest cave paintings in Australia and allegedly taught the Aboriginal people how to paint, hunt, and cook with fire.
How do these tie into Dark Watchers, though?
They're just like tall, 10-foot tall, dark beings that hang out in rocks.
Right. The Dark Watchers wear top hats. This little f***er is like a string bean. A top hat would snap it in half.
When did they get the hat, though? Maybe they adopted the hat in South America in the 1700s.
Adopted the hat? Ever heard of evolution, asshole?
That one is pretty interesting because, granted, you're not really seeing the connection between Mimis and Dark Watchers, which is fair. But that's interesting because they're kind of arguing that Mimis predate humankind. They're saying that Mimis taught humans how to paint and cook.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
The Dark Watchers, though, are also similar to Shadow People, Slender Man, and
true.
A new one I hadn't heard of, Black Stick Men.
Ooh. I don't like the sound of that.
These are said to be two-dimensional creatures that look the same from every angle, and they are several feet taller than the average human. Rory, just for just as a sidebar, here is some examples of black stick men.
Don't just show me... Okay, at least you're showing me pictures. I literally thought you were going to show me drawings of stick men. all right. This is genuinely creepier than I thought. It's kind of like, what do you call it? Like a stick bug? Is that what you call them?
Yeah, stick insect.
Stick insect. That's what it is. They look like...
stick bug.
It's the Southern American in me. What is that? Stick bug? Ladybug? They look like trees that have come to life. They look like if... What's the dude from Lord of the Rings... Treebeard?
Treebeard.
It looked
ant.
Like if Treebeard was on a mad cut and down to like 2% body fat. They're terrifying. They look like the shadows of branches walking across streets and buildings. I don't like it. I don't like it, but I also, it looks like I could snap them in half. So that's like kind of a nice reassuring thing.
Yeah, at least if you're scared of Mimis, they did say that even a wind could snap them in two, which bodes well for me because I don't have a lot of fighting ability. I gotta be honest, I don't know if we're ever gonna do a full investigation into the Black Stick Men. I'm not sure they're real. Apparently they don't cast a shadow, which is quite convenient because it makes them about 1,000% easier to Photoshop.
I didn't even think about that.
Because the details we have on them is that they're completely 2D and don't cast a shadow. Which basically means they're a fucking JPEG.
Yeah. Their abilities include being a PNG. They can appear with no background. Sometimes the creatures look like they're a different aspect ratio.
They could appear in landscape or portrait form.
And are often watermarked.
Now, these Dark Watcher entities have actually kind of been popularized by the writer John Steinbeck. The famous American author very briefly mentioned the Dark Watchers in a short story of his named Flight. He wrote, "Pepe looked suspiciously back every minute or so, and his eyes sought the tops of the ridges ahead. Once, on a white barren spur, he saw a black figure for a moment, but he looked quickly away, for it was one of the Dark Watchers. No one knew who the Watchers were, nor where they lived, but it was better to ignore them and never to show interest in them. They did not bother one who stayed on the trail and minded his own business." Pepe looked up to the top of the next dry, withered ridge. He saw a dark form against the sky, a man's figure standing on top of a rock, and he glanced away quickly, not to appear curious. When a moment later he looked up again, the figure was gone. Interestingly, John Steinbeck's son claims to have seen a Dark Watcher as a child, and eventually went on to co-author a book on them called In Search of the Dark Watchers.
Wow.
In fact, the entire Steinbeck family are believers. Steinbeck's mother, Olive Hamilton, brought fruit and flowers for them. Steinbeck's son, Thomas, said his school headmistress, grandmother, believed firmly in the Dark Watchers, despite being a no-nonsense woman without a paranormal thought in her head.
His school's headmistress's grandmother.
His grandmother was a school headmistress.
Oh, wait, what? So not his school headmistress's grandmother?
His school headmistress grandmother. It's like saying...
The grandmother of his schoolmistress, or his grandmother is a schoolmistress?
The latter. That's what I said.
Wait, which one?
His grandmother
is a school headmistress.
I'm standing up right now.
You're
screaming
a Dark Watcher.
At Rory.
You got a hat and a cape. His grandmother.
It was an interesting way of saying Steinbeck's mom was a school headmistress.
That was probably an easier way to word this. Did you say also that they were bringing these sons of bitches fruit and berries and shit?
Yeah.
I thought all we've heard about them is that you shouldn't even show them any interest at all.
No, well, we did briefly mention earlier, if you do want to meet one, you need to bring it a gift.
That's true. I didn't know it was just a fruit and a basket of goodies.
The grandmother school headmistress told her children and her grandchildren that she left fruit and nuts out for the Watchers in Mule Deer Canyon on her way to school in Big Sur.
That's the one thing they can get in the forest is fucking fruit and nuts. Give them an iPhone. Give them a fucking beer. We laid out sticks and
we laid
acorns.
Out sand and dirt. They were like, oh, my favorite. That's why I live in the dirt.
That's weird and bad.
On the way back, her offerings would be gone, but there would be flowers lying where she'd placed them.
That's fair. That's all they have. When she returned, there were less fruit, less nuts, and more squirrel shit than usual. A gift from the elders of the forest.
From the forest spirits. We haven't even referenced kind of the most nuts thing about this case, pun intended, that all of this has taken place in the state of California.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
It's very weird. Like,
not a place traditionally known for its creepy forests, really.
Yeah, and I mean, I maybe mentioned a forest earlier, but it doesn't seem to be, they don't seem to be stuck in the forest. Like, they seem to be out in cliffs and ridges and...
Down by Hollywood Boulevard, chilling in Malibu.
They have a family pass to Universal. They go like 5 times a year.
Yeah, you know, because when I think of Californian forests, I think of, you know, the mighty redwoods. I think of sunshine. I think of lush green valleys. Whereas, you know, some of the forests that were near where we grew up in Northern Ireland, they're out of a Dark Souls game. They're out of Lord of the Rings. Misty, dark, stormy.
Yeah, I mean,
windy.
We covered a paranormal case in one of them not that long ago, and I think it had a clan of druids living in it,
waving flaming torches in the night. Yeah, it's a very creepy paranormal place. Whereas, yeah, it's interesting to, as we heard in one of these stories, some of these guys are just appearing in daylight.
Yeah, exactly. It's quite interesting, too. I don't know how often we have a paranormal case where the first person to document it is a famous author.
Right. We had the Sherlock Holmes guy who thought fairies were real. But I think we should stop talking about him because I came up quite a few times and it was damaging to the case. It really was.
Yeah, I'm starting to think we shouldn't trust these artists and thespians. Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, you've spent a lot of time in California. I've spent a tiny bit of time in California. I mean, I'm not the most well-traveled guy in the world. Been to a few different countries, a couple different continents. I do think there's something wild about the Californian desert environment. We've talked about it before. These places like Joshua Tree, home to such weird things as the Integratron, you know, people building time machines out in the desert. I did feel when I went there that there was something strange and special about that place. Tons of UFO sightings, you know, even in Joshua Tree, there's like a whole bookshop just dedicated to UFO books.
Yeah, there's definitely a darker side to California and LA that, you know, you don't see on your typical holiday visits. I remember I was there on a work trip a few years back. And on our last day, our flight wasn't leaving until around 4 p.m. So we did what everyone does on a work trip. And we went to a bar at like 11 a.m. We were the first ones there when the door opened.
Unprofessional.
They had a little outdoor seating area. So we were like, what are you guys doing today? They said, we got a deal on pitchers of margaritas. So, you know, the pitchers were flowing, had a great time drinking these big jugs of margarita on this sunny day. And then someone was like, hey, I've got a great idea. Why don't we go to the Museum of Death? It's like two blocks down the road. And I got like I'm pretty blasted at this point. It is noon and I am seeing triple. And I think the Museum of Death actually sounds like a pretty cool, quirky place to go visit. It was not. It was a bad idea. It was a lot more intense than I thought it would. I thought it was going to be like one of those museums where it's like, here's the history of death from other cultures, you know, okay, and like the way people were buried throughout time.
See, that's what I'm picturing, yeah.
No, this was a very intense museum, which, hey, you know, if you're into that sort of thing, the true crime, the serial killers, awesome, good for you. But this was like, they had on display like the clown shoes that John Wayne Gacy wore. And like notes from serial killers that were handwritten on the
walls.
Keep
an eye on the person who started this museum.
It was pretty dark. It was pretty dark. There was like Polaroids from actual crime scenes.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is a dead body. I don't need to see this right now. The buzz faded very quickly.
Yeah, you were stone cold sober.
I went in with a tank top and one of those helmets that has two beers on the sides that you can drink of through a straw. And I came back still wearing all those things, but a lot sadder.
So there's a number of layers of dark side.
Yeah. And that's just the point we're getting at. You know, LA, California seems like a very sunny, bright place, but there's a dark underbelly in the city and in the woods.
Now, as you may be sensing, the big problem with the case of Dark Watchers is they're fucking shadows. You pretty much, by definition, can't get a good look at them. So there's essentially zero photographic evidence. All we have to go on is a number of well-documented sightings. Because of this, people have proposed more scientific explanations for what's going on.
That's fair.
Is it hallucinations? Or even better, an optical illusion? Specifically, the Brocken Spectre, also known as Angel in the Sky.
The Pervert Brothers. In German, Das Pervert. Das Pervert. What's brothers in German? I gotta figure this out. It's even brother. Das Pervert Brother.
Now, this is a weather event where basically if the sun's behind you, it can project a shadow on clouds or mist below.
We talked about this before.
Yeah.
We talked about this and it was one of your cases, Giants in the Mountains or something, I believe.
Yeah, now you mention it, this is a really, really reminiscent image. All right, you've seen this one before. This is an example of how it works.
You've shown me this. You've shown me this exact picture before.
I'm reading from the same script. So, in conclusion, is the giant man of Ben McDooey real?
That's the same case.
It's just come back to me.
I will say, to cut you some slack here, folks, full disclosure, I wish we were joking, but we're not. Right before we started recording the podcast, the carbon monoxide detector in Kit's apartment went off.
All right.
And we don't really know what that means. We phoned some people and had a chat about it. They think it was an accident, but the thing had batteries in it and is working fine. All of a sudden, I'm talking about s***ing my own d***, and you're presenting a case we already did.
Carbon monoxide is fake news. I don't believe in it. And the man of Ben McDowie is real. The problem is, even this phenomenon doesn't really explain how people are seeing this thing on top of cliffs in bright daylight.
Yeah.
Of course, it could also just be pareidolia. This is the way that humans see patterns and faces and shapes where there aren't any.
That's true, but I mean, this is beyond a face, you know?
This is a gentleman with a cape smoking.
Yeah, and he's smoking a bowl at one point.
So even if these logical explanations do explain a handful of cases, what about the one where the Dark Watcher is playing Simon Says? What about the one spotted in broad daylight? And why only in the state of California? Surely this should be happening in everywhere else in the country.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. You know, as we said, there's creepier forests out there in the world. So why are these guys only appearing in California? Are there any theories behind why?
Huh?
Okay. I'm assuming that's a no.
That's actually a great question. You know, if I had to guess based on what we've talked about so far, we do know that this is specific lore to certain Native American nations. It could be that the Dark Watchers, you know, whatever they might have called them back in the day, that they are specific to maybe just that Chumash nation.
That region,
just not to anywhere else. And that's, you know, we call it California today, but historically there's a much longer history to that part of America.
Yeah, that's true. I could understand that. And it could be some sort of ancient beast or creature keeping watch over the land, the precious land. Make sure no one f***s with it anymore. But then again, they don't do anything.
They just observe.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it? Like, what so rarely is in the name of your cryptid what they do? their profession.
I guess Bigfoot is pretty, he's Big Feet. The Loch Ness Monster is a monster who lives in Loch Ness. There aren't really that many creative names for cryptids.
But like, they might have different names if we knew more about them. Like, it could be Bigfoot the Accountant if we find he's really good at numbers.
Yeah.
Or like the Loch Ness Diver if it just continually dives down to the bottom.
Presumably he does.
He's munches stuff and comes back up to the top. Whereas a Dark Watcher, it's the number one fucking thing we know about them.
That's true. Yeah. They're not called like the Chonk Pigglers or something. And it's like, well, what do they do? It's like, eh, just watch stuff. It's like, all right, we'll call them something to do with that.
I appreciate this is a bit of a weird one. The case is as ambiguous and shadowy as the Dark Watchers themselves.
Nice.
Rory, if you had to look at some of the experiences we've talked about on this episode, and frankly not look at the lack of evidence, where would you come down on whether these things are really paranormal or not?
Are we looking at a specific story or just these creatures as a entity?
The kit and caboodle, are Dark Watchers real?
I don't know, man. They're not grabbing me, literally, because all they do is watch shit. So I'm not seeing really any good reason why these things would exist or any really believable stories relating to people witnessing them in public. I know that you said you have had, there's like some testimonies online, but they're all weirdly recent as well. 2015, 2018.
Well, to be fair, when John Steinbeck wrote about Dark Watchers in Flight, which is really the first written record we know about, that was 1938.
Right.
And then allegedly, this goes back to Native American times before that.
Oh, right. So, but he gave them kind of its first mainstream.
Yeah, he called them Dark Watchers.
I don't know. Like you said to yourself, like these guys in real life, there's nothing there. They're shadows, they're mist. It's a bit of an illusion. I don't see anything today that would make me believe that these guys are actually real.
Yeah, it does remind me a little bit of whenever we talked about banshees recently. You know, I can't relate to the concept of Dark Watchers because...
Well, don't have a go at banshees as well, because that was...
Because we're not...
Incredibly researched. I had interviews with people from Ireland.
I'm sorry. Did I not have statements from like 5 people who've seen Dark Watchers?
I think you found some Reddit comments from like a couple years ago. But that's fine. It's fine.
I didn't mention Reddit once. I'm pretty sure you did.
Just don't besmirch my name. or that of the Legends of Ireland.
All I'm saying is that I didn't grow up with Dark Watchers, so it's hard for me to wrap my head around it. But I did grow up with the concept of the Banshee.
Banshees, yeah.
And I know that they're not real.
Oh, I don't remember you saying that on the podcast, buddy.
Where did we come down to that?
It was a double no, sure. But there were times where I feel like I had you. You were on the edge. The stuff about the combs.
So, in summary.
Sure.
Dark Watchers are about as real as the Banshee.
If you want to, come down on conclusions. Yeah, double no.
Because both are a great example of how you can have dozens of people who will swear on their mother's lives they've seen them with their own eyes, and yet zero proof of any of them.
It's true. Welcome to the world of the paranormal. It's 98% of our cases.
But hell, I would love to go hiking in a Californian valley and hopefully see one for myself. Maybe I will someday.
I feel like if you hike for long enough, you'll see a lot of weird
shit. You'll see God, because you'll be fucking dead.
In the hot California sun. If you drink 4 pitchers of ice-cold margaritas and go out into the blistering hot California desert, you'll see a lot of things, my friend. You will.
Wow, so a pretty quick and damning double no for the case of Dark Watchers. I really love that case, though. I really love that story and enjoyed reading about it. Thank you so much to Amy Grisdale for researching this episode. Thank you to Cammy Toman for editing it.
I was disappointed. I thought these sons of bitches were going to be more like the Ringwraiths from the Ringwraiths from Lord of the Rings. Right. You know, you'd just be chilling and then all of a sudden you'd see this thing and its head would like cane right towards you and be like, and have a horrible screech, and then they hop on the back of a dragon and swoop down, and you're like ducking and ducking, protecting the ring, and the Fellowship are behind you shooting arrows and freaking out. Next thing you know, Aragorn dives through the sky, takes a swing at the beast, takes its hand off, but this thing doesn't have a hand, it's just armor. It's a ghost in armor. And then Legolas is riding down elephant trunk shooting arrows multiple right up into the sky, blinding orcs as they look up. But guess
what? That's quite enough.
I just got a little carried away with
that. So you wanted this case about the paranormal to be, what, more like the Fellowship of the Ring?
Yeah, or Two Towers.
Or presumably Return of the King.
Or either that one.
It would be fine. Skip the Return of the King for some reason.
I didn't once mention any character from The Hobbit, but it's along the same kind of vibes. I just thought it'd be more like a little more exciting, a little more aggressive. And I thought as the orcs looked up at the sun, then Gimli would slink down below with his axe and cut them off. Cut off their ankles. But you know,
guys
were cool too. They like looked at shit and ate nuts.
I'm so.
And like played with berries and flowers and things. That was cool.
I don't deserve to be treated this way. As soon as the episode started, you launched into a diatribe about f***ing your own.
I never said that.
Then I never demanded that it was removed from the podcast, then continued to bring it up 2 to 3 more times.
The more times.
Staggered throughout the episode. And then at the end, you said, none of this is real, and I wish it had more hobbits.
The more you talk about the f***ing thing, it's going to be harder, do you understand, to cut it out subsequently from all the times that it appeared in the podcast.
It will be, because you kept bringing it up.
So let's just, you know, I wish they did a little more stuff. I wish they had a purpose. Whether that's
you
trying to get the one ring
to run
or
a podcast about
Lord of the Rings. Yeah, maybe I do. A watch along. So
you don't even want a podcast about it. You just want to watch Lord of the Rings.
It's me hitting play, hitting record on the Zoom, and then popcorn munching and snacking for 3 hours.
3 hours in, you just under your breath.
Oh, cool. Legolas. that's going to be launching soon, guys. So check it out.
If you enjoyed this week's investigation into the Dark Watchers and you cannot get enough this paranormal life, and please try and put out of your mind anything Rory has said up to this point in the episode about the Patreon bonus episodes. Over on patreon.com/thisparanormallife, there is over 45 full-length bonus episodes of This Paranormal Life. For just $5 or equivalent in your local currency, you can unlock like a year's worth of This Paranormal Life that is not available to the public.
And it's not just for guys, too. Self-fellatio is available to anyone of any gender.
Brought up. What did you just call it? Oh my God. It's not the content. Like, what does that say to people? Does that say to people that it's like a guide on how to do it?
Yeah, like, it's like, you know, yoga positions. How would you practice
this? Like, the last bonus episode was on objects out in deep space. Like, you host it. Like, you know the content of those episodes. It's nothing to do with any of that.
Sure. I add little bits in after we've recorded the podcast. I'm like, hey, remember last week when I was like, hey, man, don't worry about the editing for this week. I'll take it this week. So I'll cut that podcast down to like 5-10 minutes, sometimes like 3 minutes.
What the f*** are you talking
sometimes
about?
Sometimes
it was a 45-minute episode.
Sometimes I'll interrupt the intro and just hard cut and be like, I know why you little f***ers are here. Time for the real podcast. And then I'll go into the tutorial section.
Holy shit.
Yeah, people find it really offensive and rude and crass. But I'm saying maybe they're not trying hard enough.
But there is a small group of devotees who are getting very close to the Holy Grail itself.
There's a small group of pervert brothers who are inches from glory. Jesus Christ. I think there's actual carbon monoxide in this room. This is the nuttiest podcast we've done in so long.
What is pervert though in
Spanish? I have no idea. That's not something you should be. It should be in your vocabulary if you're visiting Spain.
Pervert in Spanish.
Like, hola, ¿cómo te llamas? ¿Dónde está tu perverts?
Oh my God, it's so good. I wish we'd looked it up earlier.
What is it?
Pervertido. Los pervertidos hermanos. So thank you so much for tuning in for this week's episode of This Paranormal Life. We will, of course, be back on Tuesday with a brand new paranormal tale. And until then, remember to live fast, investigate, and die young. Los pervertidos hermanos.